Next item is, we move to the regular agenda, item 1332, please.
Conditionally exempt the creation of certain mass shelters and short-term housing facilities from parks and recreation, environmental services, transportation, and water system development charges.
And colleagues, we will have presentations today from Sarah Fialin from my office, Matt Wickstrom, and Mark Jolin. Mark Jolin is, of course, the director of the Joint Office of Homeless Services between Multnomah County and the City of Portland. After they give their presentations, we'll have some invited testimony from Stacey Bork, TPI, Rose Back from Catholic Charities. And I'm not sure who's starting today.
I'm sorry.
Seraphie, very good. Thank you. Name for the record, please.
City Council, my name is Seraphie Allen, and I am a policy advisor to Mayor Ted Wheeler, and it is my great pleasure to be before you today.
System development charges fees play a critical role in expanding and providing services in Portland. However, assessing these fees on new shelter space can limit the ability to create them when shelter space is badly needed. Over the past 2 years, the Mayor's Office has worked with many public and private partners to expand access to shelter and increase the numbers of people moving through shelter into permanent housing. I would like to thank all the Bureau partners and especially Matt Wickstrom from BDS for coming together so quickly and working with a nimbleness that is not usually expected from government for addressing this challenge. Waiving SDC fees is one tool City Council has available to address our housing crisis and need for shelter access. I would now like to pass this off to Matt Wickstrom, and thank you for hearing us today.
Hello, I'm Matt Wickstrom. Hi. With the Bureau of Development Services, and I'll just quickly go through a presentation about what we came up with for the SDC waivers from mass shelters and short-term housing. The issues that we came across, Seraphie mentioned the first one, is that SDC charges can be a significant portion of the overall cost of new shelter space. There is a current SDC waiver. It's applied to mass shelters, but it's not applied to short-term housing. I'll get to the distinction between those two in just a second. And then the current SDC waiver requires a 10-year minimum operating period. What we're seeing is shelters right now that don't always have that that 10-year minimum lined up. They may be seasonal or they just don't have a 10-year lease period. The difference between a mass shelter and short-term housing, and this waiver would apply to both, is that mass shelter is a structure with one or more open sleeping areas. Individual sleeping rooms aren't provided, and a mass shelter is operated by a public or nonprofit agency. For mass shelters, you could picture the foster shelter. Short-term housing is a structure with one or more open individual sleeping rooms, and it's also operated by a public or nonprofit agency. For short-term housing, you could picture Kenton Women's Village. Like I said, the current SDC waivers are applied to mass shelters that provide shelter for a minimum of 10 years. What the proposal is SDCs would be waived for mass shelters and short-term housing projects. With confirmation from the Joint Office of Homeless Services.
Can we go back for a second? There's a big difference between operating agreement and confirmation.
Yes, and so, this is a typo in the presentation. I'm sorry.
So you're saying there's no we're on the one hand we're saying it doesn't have to be 10 years. Now you're saying it doesn't have to have an operating agreement. It just has to have confirmation. So is that? Well, Mark, I'll wait to your presentation, but maybe clear. There has to be a clear public benefit, and there has to be a clear trigger. And an operating agreement we can verify. Confirmation gets a little squishy, so I want to know just how that works.
The process that we had laid out is that the Joint Office of Public Services would provide SDC bureaus with a letter saying the shelter has confirmation. SDC bureaus would calculate but waive the SDC fees. Joint Office would be responsible for tracking the shelters receiving the waiver and the amount, and then the Joint Office would notify SDC bureaus if the shelter was no longer operating. This is intended to give you a snapshot of the SDC fees that are assessed of shelters, and keep in mind that different bureaus assess fees differently, and there's different types of projects with where different fees would be triggered. So this is really just a snapshot of what we've seen so far. In addition to these, there would be likely the Willamette Center would be requesting the SEC fees waived, and then there's Right to Dream 2 and Hazelnut Grove, which also could come in with permits and request those fees to be waived as well. The ordinance proposal is to amend Title 30 to create a new section for SDC waivers for mass shelters and short-term housing. It would amend Title 30 as well to remove the current references for mass shelters from the section that it's currently in, which is waivers for affordable housing. And then there's, in order to align codes, there are minor amendments to Title 17, Title 21, and Title 30. And the ordinance has been structured as an emergency ordinance. And that is the end of my presentation.
So I'll provide my prepared remarks and then come back to your question, Commissioner. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Commissioners. My name is Mark Jolin. I'm the Director of the Joint Office of Homeless Services. I'm here today to express my appreciation for the SDC waiver measure you are voting on today. I want to thank the Mayor's Office for initiating this effort and for the partnership with the SDC bureaus and the Bureau of Development Services. Since the declaration of the state of emergency, we've opened more than a dozen year-round and temporary shelters in this community. We've both more than doubled the number of publicly funded year-round shelter beds available and more than doubled the number of people who benefit from emergency shelter each year. Last year, it was approximately 8,500 people. But as Matt said, we don't foresee our need for shelter diminishing. We are in the midst of several projects to upgrade the quality of our permanent year-round service-enriched shelter capacity, and we anticipate additional ones in the future. We also expect to continue to look for temporary and alternative shelter opportunities in partnership with the faith community, nonprofits, the business community, and our neighborhoods. And shelter is not something that requires government sponsorship. We have a variety of privately run shelters serving a wide range of need in our community, including year-round, seasonal, and alternative shelters. Given the urgent need, we want to do everything we can to incentivize these privately led efforts. The waiver proposal you have in front of you will reduce the cost of shelter development, whether publicly or privately led. As you saw from Matt's presentation, these costs can be substantial and a significant deterrent, especially to faith communities and nonprofits that are seeking to create or improve shelter capacity. As importantly, this waiver creates a streamlined process. In fact, as we have moved to create shelters, the public interest in advancing those projects has been strong enough that the SDC bureaus have often ultimately granted waivers of the fees. But seeking waivers from each SDC bureau for each project is a time-consuming, staff and resource-intensive process that often slows projects down. This proposal eliminates that complexity and will allow shelters to be created more quickly. The proposal before you will be one more important tool in our efforts to address the crisis of unsheltered homelessness in our community, and the Joint Office welcomes the opportunity to play a role in the implementation of this new tool. I thank you again for your consideration of this proposal.
So, Mark, could you talk a little bit about this mechanism of confirmation versus operating agreement? And I'm guessing that the old rule about 10 years and an operating agreement was in part designed to make sure the cost benefit was amortized over a period of time, and the operating agreement was a way of verifying that there was a relationship. How would you envision the confirmation process working?
I'm going to let Matt take the first run at it, because I'm not clear that an operating agreement was part of the 10-year waiver either. But
oh, that was just a typo?
An operating agreement isn't currently required.
Okay. So how does the confirmation process work? Yeah.
So I think this is something that we will have to work out in terms of the formal process. What we would expect is the presentation of a desire to move forward with the shelter. In fact, most shelters in our community are going to have our involvement actively in multiple stages, including as a funder. So we expect that in the vast majority of situations, there would be an operating agreement. We have the ability to verify that a shelter is going to be open and is open and operating as planned. I think what we're trying to create is space for those community-led efforts that don't necessarily require our funding or an operating agreement with us, but where we know that provider is out in the community and is delivering shelter services. So how we document that, this will be a new process, but clearly we'll need to have some very specific mechanisms in place.
So I have obviously great confidence in how you work that out, and I'm sure I'm restating the obvious, but I would think that a letter addressed to the director and the commissioner in charge simply notifying them that this is being triggered, mm-hmm. describing the project, making the requests so it can be acted on, mm-hmm. Is a good place to start, and then we can fine-tune that over time.
Absolutely, and I think we'll have the record of application for permits and so forth that have come forward that have triggered the SDC conversation, so I think we'll have a good record to verify that this is in fact the intended use and be able to monitor that.
This proposal says that the burden is placed on the joint office to do these notifications, including if the entity ceases operating as a shelter. Do you have adequate resources to undertake that responsibility?
We will undertake the responsibility. We'll have to look at what the actual administrative impact is. The current volume of shelters is not that high, so we don't anticipate that this is going to be a big body of work for us. But as it becomes clear what's necessitated, we'll have to look at our existing budget for shelter operations and potentially seek whatever additional support we need.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, operationally for us, because we are in the lead on a lot of these shelter projects, there will likely be a net benefit in terms of our capacity if we're not having to pursue individual SDC waivers for shelters. We can put that time back into the monitoring activity as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Colleagues, further questions? Does that complete the presentation for this
That's
panel?
Correct.
Very good. So we have some invited testimony. Thank you, all three of you, very much. Stacey Bork is here, as well as Rose Beck. Thank you for being here.
Sure. Good morning. I'm Rose Bach, the Director of Homeless and Housing Services at Catholic Charities of Oregon. As you may know, we operate a variety of services for people who are experiencing homelessness or for people who have left homelessness, including the Kenton Women's Village. The Kenton Women's Village has been a very successful alternative shelter model, and we have a very strong relationship with the neighborhood in the Kenton neighborhood. The neighbors are very involved in the village. They volunteer at the village and share in the village's success. I know that you, Mayor Wheeler, were visiting about a month ago, and at that time we let you know that 18 women had moved into permanent housing, but as of today, 20 women from the village have left long-term chronic homelessness and moved into permanent housing, so we're very pleased about that. At Catholic Charities, we believe very strongly that small alternative shelters are a very good model for people who are not successful in larger shelters. The sense of security and privacy that women have at the village, as well as long-term intensive case management, has really proved to be a key for folks to move on out of homelessness. People have secured jobs, started small businesses, left domestic violence relationships, and sought recovery from addiction and mental health disorders through their work at the village. We at Catholic Charities are actively pursuing additional alternative shelters like Kenton Women's Village, but we believe that the system development charges are prohibitive, and applying for individual waivers really impedes our ability to be nimble and flexible and to start new sites. So we ask that you would approve the waiver for shelters and support additional villages like Kenton Women's Villages moving forward. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. And I just want to say how impressed I am with your work and how impressed I was with the women at the Women's Kenton Village. And I really appreciated their hospitality. It was nice of them to invite me in and show me not only the village and the programming there, but invite me into their homes and see what they're working on. And I just have to say, I was so impressed that there was a micro enterprise going on there as well. And so there were two women who were taking economic control of their lives and becoming entrepreneurs and delivering a product which I thought was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated it so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. We invite all of you, when we move to the new location in January, to come. We'll give you all an invitation. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm Stacey Bork, Senior Director of Programs with Transition Projects. Thanks for bringing this important change forward. Over the last 3 years, Transition Projects has opened 13 shelters in 13 different locations, including permanent, winter, and temporary shelters, all with the support of this council and the Joint Office of Homeless Services. All of our shelter expansion has been intentional and strategic, striving to meet both the emergent needs of people sleeping unsheltered tonight and providing stability as people transition back into housing. Last year, Transition Projects provided safe sleep for more than 3,700 different people and helped more than 1,000 people return back to permanent housing. As you know, our budgets are to open new programs are small, the timelines are often short, and the demand is critical. These are life-saving services. Everything we do to speed up and make the process more efficient matters most to the people who are in crisis and need the services today. Your support of this waiver allows us to dedicate our energy and our resources towards getting people safe inside and back in housing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions for this panel? Thank you for your great work. Public testimony on this item, Carla.
Yes, we have seven people signed up. The first three are Robert West, Robert Patterson, and Charles Bridgecrane Johnson.
2 minutes each, please.
Yes, Mayor, this is Robert West. You received an award, I believe it was 2 years ago, for getting the veterans off the streets. And I'm finding more and more people are on the streets. I think that the city should waive any fees of these shelters and stuff. These shelters shouldn't have to be burdened with the fees and stuff. If you notice, there's homeless all over the place. We've even had homeless protests outside where individual got assaulted and robbed and was brought into City Hall for first aid just to be kicked out by security because the person was not injured on City Hall property. Then when the police decided to deal with it, which was over an hour later, the guy that was pepper sprayed actually had to walk four blocks to speak with the police, which I thought was totally disgusting. Also, a couple of days ago, they had a protest out back by your car in which a number of
Mr. West, is this testimony going to focus on the matter at hand, which shelters?
It is.
Okay, if you could get to that part of the subject.
Homeless protesters were shoved by your G4S security guards. We need more shelters. We need more places where homeless can go. We don't need the homeless ticketed. There's a homeless dude that was out in front of City Hall that got a criminal citation for camping in front of City Hall. Now, that's a shame, Mayor. These people can't afford these tickets, and you guys ticket them. They don't show up for court, and then your SS goons go arrest them.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, again, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson. And obviously, any step we can take, especially when it's just around what's, in this case, sort of bureaucratic, moving money from the left hand to the right hand, since it's the city and the county that generally fund most shelter, while we're working at getting more more local people, especially high-wealth local people, aware to the deep philanthropic need.
Can I just correct you?
Yes.
We're not moving money around.
Oh, no, we're not.
We're waiving a fee.
But if we didn't waive the fee, it's really just moving money from, because it's not like they're collecting rent from these homeless people. Any SDC money, where did it come from? From the Joint Office of Homeless Services or Catholic Charities. Now, there we maybe do have a private funder. But anyway, yes, vote yes to delay these SDC fees. But I think that I was glad that the mayor made some clarifications about city size and police force size. We also need to look at the fact that there's just no way that if one of the previous testifiers said that they housed 3,000 some unique individuals and they got 1,000 people into housing, that there's much of an overlap with that Venn diagram. If you look at the rate of churn in the people that leave TPI shelters without attaining public housing, we still have a serious crisis. It's not to fault TPI. It's a problem with the real estate market. But waive these SDC charges and look also to broaden the source of philanthropic individuals and organizations that can open up some temporary space so that we don't have thousands of people outside when it's 32 degrees. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Morning.
Hi, I'm Robert Patterson. I've been homeless in Portland for coming up on 3 years now, 3.5 years, and I understand that shelters are an important part of a solution, not just to the problem of homelessness, but the problem of freezing to death. However, I'm also a gay man, and I understand that many shelters, not all, but many shelters are inculcated with a prison culture that is intolerant to sexual minorities. I also have a religious faith that runs outside of the norm, and again, I understand that some shelters, not all, but some shelters, are intolerant of alternative faith pathways, shall we say. While I support this exemption, I would hope that the commission would add a caveat that all of these shelters be able to demonstrate how they plan to have a secure space for sexual minorities and for minorities of faith. I'm Robert Patterson.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next three are Maggie, Tom Kemper, and Homer Williams.
Morning.
Hi, I would like more than 2 minutes, thank you. I think that delaying these STC fees can be a good thing if you're trying to improve the deliverance of homeless services or improve the services themselves, because federal policy 811 just lets the contractors decide what is a social service. So inside Salvation Army, there's a housing advocate, but there's no housing advocacy going on. I explained to you earlier, you know, about the MRSA, the bed bugs, the lice, and the kennel cough, and we're up on beds now, and there are some people moving out. However, Bar 15 next door, they're apparently still mad that we've asked them to keep the noise down to a reasonable level. Now, I grew up across from two major military installations. I understand what ordnance practice sounds like. I can feel the ground shaking and the windows shaking. And so when Bar 15 is doing their blasting from their speakers and their drums, and it sounds exactly like that. And we have on my floor about a dozen schizophrenics, and they rock back and forth, and they talk to themselves. And then when I go down and I'm sitting, like, literally this close, because we are all sitting side by side with our chairs touching, and I'm eating my ramen because they won't use the kitchen that they donated to feed anyone. There's a woman who's schizophrenic who's sitting next to me who's been up all night, and she is sobbing. And I don't mean crying a little. She is sobbing endlessly because she's been up all night and because it sounds like an active war zone, because Bar 15 is going boom, 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 boom all night long. Okay, it's torture. That's torturing disabled people. Okay, you know, the city attorney could do something about this. There's no disability rights lawyer in the disability rights office. Otherwise, you guys would have had a class action lawsuit, because ultimately it's the city's responsibility to, you know, be in charge of that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. Homer Williams, Oregon Harper of Hope. Somebody had mentioned the private side getting involved in this, and I think this is a really good example of getting something done where there's a significant financial contribution from the private side. And then in conjunction with transition projects in the city and their help, both on an ongoing operation in Prosper Portland and the state of Oregon, all contributing to this. And so I think that we all recognize the need for shelters, and it's going to continue to grow, as we know, and finding ways to provide these is most important, and this is a big step in making it financially viable for the private people willing to make contributions and to help manage the cost of building these things. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is Tom Kemper. I went to Homer about a few months ago and said, what can I do to help with the homeless issue? He said, great, take on the Navigation Center. So I'm the project manager and owner rep for the getting the Navigation Center built. As you know, that project is a 100-bed shelter planned right by the Broadway Bridge on land from that's being leased from Prosper Portland to the city to Oregon Harbor of Hope. We hope to start construction in January. The lease is less than 10 years, and that's why this modification to the waiver of fees is really critical to get the Navigation Center built. It's being built substantially with private donor funding, and it is, as Homer noted, it's a public-private partnership to address a very serious issue that we have. Strongly urge your passage of this modification to the fee ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Does that complete public testimony, Carla?
That's all who signed up. Yes.
Very good. Any further comments or questions? Commissioner Fish?
Nope.
Please call the roll.
Fritz.
I appreciate the collaboration of all the partners who've made this happen. Aye.
Fish?
So when we waive systems development charges, and we're talking about waiving, not deferring, we necessarily shift costs. Homer, you don't have to stay here, by the way. I mean, you're welcome to. We charge more for those seats. We shift costs onto other classes of users. And so we do this advisedly. We do this carefully. And particularly when the utilities are included in what is being proposed. I have some hesitation about the action we're taking today, but on balance, I think it is in the public interest, and therefore I support it. Aye.
We're trying to get Commissioner Saltzman. This is an emergency.
Yeah, no, we're stalling. Okay. We're stalling.
Where's Lightning? Does he have any more videos?
Why don't you go ahead and can she continue to call the roll until, and we won't take the final vote until.
Let's take it out of sequence. We can go to you and then Dan when he gets here.
I would recommend just postponing the calling the vote.
Okay. Why don't we do this? Have you received word from Commissioner Saltzman?
Your staff went to find him.
I can comment.
Why don't we just put it off for one item?
Yeah. Why don't we do
the
that?
Rest of
and,
well,
we have one item where I have a
here
statement.
Here he is.
He's been found.
Commissioner Saltzman. Good. Okay. All right. Continue the roll, please.
Saltzman.
It's your vote in the SDC.
Wheeler.
Last year, for the first time, more Portland residents were counted sleeping in shelters than sleeping outside. Despite good progress, Portland still has a very urgent need for additional shelter beds and shelter options for the people in our community. System development charge fees play a critical role in expanding and providing services in Portland. However, assessing these fees on shelters can actually limit their ability, our ability to create them when shelter space is so obviously needed. The city's SDC bureaus, the Bureau of Development Services, and the Joint Office of Homeless Services work together on an approach to waive SDC fees for these shelters, provided they have confirmation with the Joint Office, and we had that conversation today. Waiving SDC fees is one tool the City Council has available to address our housing crisis and need for safe and habitable shelters. I want to thank Matt Wickstrom for the presentation and your fantastic work in bringing all the SDC bureaus together and creating what ultimately was a very collaborative process. Thank you for that. I also want to thank Mari Moore from the Water Bureau, Sarah Huggins from Portland Parks, BES, Rich Eisenhower from Portland Parks, and the Portland Housing Bureau, all who worked tirelessly on this effort. Again, as always, I want to thank Mark Jolin for his excellent stewardship of the Joint Office, and I want to thank Seraphie Allen from my team for recognizing this issue and working hard to get it resolved. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you.